Chapter 116. Events at Malfoy Manor. There was something very disconcerting about watching Luna Lovegood following his mother around like a blonde sort of duckling, wearing his mother's idea of acceptable robes for a girl. She looked naked somehow, without her ridiculous glasses and hats and earrings and spectacles. In simple dark blue robes, with hair straight and glossy and under control. She looked, in fact, eerily like he might have if he was a girl, Draco thought. Draco was not really sure this had been a good idea. He looked down at the little piece of stone in his hand, which shifted restlessly from a rosy granite to a shiny feldspar to a sparkly variety of mica, before returning to granite. He should probably avoid developing any more nervous habits. He should probably stop thinking. Thinking never led anywhere good. Granite, marble, mica, feldspar, granite, mica, marble. There was a hiss. Draco glanced up at his mother, who just pinched Luna's arm. Manners, his mother hissed. Draco had been a tiny, tiny child the last time his mother had been stressed enough about his manners in public to react so openly about them. Luna folded her hands. Ah, she'd been fidgeting again. His mother never could abide fidgeting. Mica, granite, quartz, marble.
Draco, darling, what are you doing?
His mother asked in a dangerously sweet voice.
Practicing, Mother. I have an idea for a new sort of transfiguration, but I need to practice on small things first.
Remember, dears, composure.
Draco was beginning to wonder if his mother had forgotten that Luna wasn't his sister. Well, she did have a lot on her mind.
Mother, I was wondering if I could go see Father.
Your father wishes you to concentrate on pleasing the Dark Lord, Draco, his mother said, lips thin and white.
Draco took this to mean his father did not quite comprehend that Draco had a task for the Dark Lord, and that his father was not doing well. At least his mother had Luna to focus on. Luna's knuckles were white as she clasped her hands together.
That doesn't look very composed, Luna,
he drawled, glad to have someone beneath him in the hierarchy of people yelling at each other. She glared at him, huge blue eyes narrow.
Waxperts.
You're not doing anyone any good, he said severely. Think of a nice book or something.
Honestly, he should have left her to get caught in the crossfire at the Burrow. Somebody probably would have dragged her to safety. Instead, he had to think about Greg's face if his fiance got caught by a stray killing curse and drag her to not safety.
It just went to show no one should let him make any decisions.
There was a thump from the doorframe of the sitting room. Draco winced.
Professor Snape? He asked. He just wished this wasn't the first time this had happened. He was never thinking about the first time this had happened ever again.
Draco. This time, Professor Snape managed to get through the door without hitting it on the way. Draco took him by the wrist and led him to a chair, pushing him firmly down into it.
Your name is Severus Snape. We are in Malfoy Manor. Your memory has been adjusted. It's the 20th of August. The weather is rainy with a chance of thunderstorms. The Dark Lord rules, and Albus Dumbledore is dead. Do you need any of that again?
Draco, no, I have it. Draco went to the sideboard and poured a glass of wine. After a furtive glance at his mother, he poured two and handed her one as he passed. She was sitting very still and very quietly with Luna. Were they literally practicing sitting still? Given the sorts of things people had to sit still through here, Draco couldn't blame them. It was nice to have the company. He handed Professor Snape the other glass of wine.
Sir, what does he do? Draco couldn't help but asking.
Professor Snape took a sip of the wine and met his eyes calmly.
I have no idea, Draco.
but I do remember enough. Snape's dark gaze sharpened, sweeping the room. I see you are enjoying company in my absence.
Mother and Luna were kind enough to wait with me.
Miss Lovegood, has it been decided whether you will be returning to Hogwarts with us?
They don't think it best, Luna said lightly, because I'm very angry with all of you, you see?
Professor Snape took another sip of wine and seemed to lose focus again. Granite, marble, green marble.
That's absurd, Draco said, trying for amusement. Who decided that?
Your aunt, Draco, his mother said in a colorless voice.
Why?
Because she is useful leverage, my dear.
She'll still be useful leverage at Hogwarts. She can set an example for the rest of them. They'll need it.
Draco sighed. I'll have to talk to Greg, I suppose. It's about time he got over this silly idea of running around with mudbloods and freaks. He could keep an eye on her at school.
Gregory Goyle is a blood traitor, Draco, his mother said sharply. He's an idiot, Mother. He simply goes where he's led, and he fell in with people who led him wrong. I really should have kept a shorter leash on him. In any case, he should be here with his family.
His mother's lips thinned, but she didn't immediately retort.
Professor, Draco said, trying a different tact, would you be willing to go with me to fetch Greg? We could talk to Mr. Lovegood at the same time.
If, Professor Snape said sourly, you receive permission from our master for the mission.
Right, Draco said crisply. I'll do that.
Draco, his mother said worriedly, standing. But Draco flickered cat and left the room at a trot before she could grab him or curse him.
This was, he thought, a stupid plan. But he was so scared and so alone and so tired of not having Greg with him. And the way Luna looked at him.
The problem was that he was too scared to actually go into the study Lord Voldemort had been using. The cat's mind might simplify things, but it still knew a larger predator that would eat it when it smelled it. The cat did not want to go in there. The cat would much rather hide in a shadow and watch the door warily. After a few minutes, the door opened and he found himself, ears pinned back in terror, looking up into the amused red eyes of Lord Voldemort. Blast it! What was the etiquette for animagi? Was he supposed to shift back? Running away and hiding under a bed was not the right etiquette. Freezing in terror was definitely incorrect, and yet it was all he could think to do. The Dark Lord picked him up by the scruff of his neck and carried him into the room. He was getting to be a larger cat, so this involved struggling to breathe. He was dropped onto the floor by the fire, and Lord Voldemort resumed his seat in one of the high-backed chairs.
Lord Voldemort will hear you.
Oh, thank Merlin, a cue. Draco shifted, straightened himself until he was kneeling, and said, formally,
I request permission, my lord, for a mission to retrieve Gregory Goyle. I believe he would, be an asset, my lord.
You believe this will make me angry?
He has a great many odd ideas, my lord. He is vicious, simplistic, and devoted, but he has a great many odd ideas.
Such as?
He believes in the Rotfang conspiracy, and that we should not harm Muggle filth because they went to the moon. Which Draco still doesn't understand, honestly. What does going to the moon have to do with anything? He could probably go to the moon if he wanted to, but he doesn't, because it's an absurd waste of time and magic. Muggles, completely inexplicable and awful.
This is not your only motivation.
No, Draco whispered. He wanted his friends with him. He wanted not to be the youngest person in every room he was in, except for people who were about to die. He'd never felt stronger than when he had both Greg and Vince at his shoulders.
but that wasn't something he was going to share with his lord and master. "I believe Professor Snape would be happier if she, if Luna, came with us to Hogwarts. If Greg agreed to be one of us, he wouldn't know how to break his word. He would keep an eye on her."
"I enjoy tormenting Severus Snape,"
Lord Voldemort observed quietly. Draco held very still.
"Bring Lord Voldemort, Gregory Goyle, and Vincent Crabbe. Then it will be decided if they are worthy of joining my Death Eaters."
"Thank you, Master," Draco said, half hypnotized, and withdrew from the room as smoothly as he knew how.